join us for an encouraging word from the Dominion Teaching Team. Here's the message.
For the word of the Lord tonight. This is going to be probably a little different. And I hope that's okay. If it's not, get over it. They can fix everything I mess up in the morning. Man, I actually have several things I want to share with you before I get into the message that I feel like God gave me. I want to share another message I feel like God gave me. It makes perfect sense to me. If it doesn't make sense to you, I'm sorry. I don't know what to tell you. I woke up Friday morning with a passage of scripture in my mind, and I was like, God, I don't even understand how this is applicable to where I'm going and what I'm doing. I don't know how it applies. I don't know how it relates. And as I laid there in bed, just contemplating it and thinking on it, I think the Lord began to reveal how it may apply to someone tonight. This portion of this message isn't for everybody, but it is for somebody. I don't know who the somebody is. I'm not a prophet nor the son of a prophet, but at times I do prophesy. But the Bible tells us in Numbers chapter 30, there is a Moses giving some commandment, Moses giving some instruction, and he's giving instruction and commandment based upon vows, commitments that are made. And he says, if a woman who lives in the house of her father makes a vow, and her father hears it and deems the vow is not either good for her or have the ability to keep the vow, the father can make the vow null and void. If a woman lives with her own husband and makes a vow, and the husband hears the vow and realizes the woman cannot keep the vow or that the vow is not good for her, the husband has the power to break the vow. As I read over that, I'm like, okay, God, I understand the law and I understand how the law works. And I knew how Moses was doing that. And he's talking about if you make a commitment, you are to keep the commitment. And I understand rank. I understand authority. I understand a woman that is not married is under the authority of her father or under the authority of her pastor. And I just began to go through some of those things. And the Lord said, take that to the New Testament. Okay. And as I begin to take it to the New Testament, I don't think God by accident paints the imagery that he paints. When he said he created Adam and Eve, Eve was in Adam, but God had to reach into Adam and pull Eve out. Are you okay with that terminology? And he said that she is now flesh of my flesh, bone of my bone, and she will be called woman, the womb of man. I saw that. I see in the New Testament, we've always been told, or at least I was told in school, that the church was born on the day of Pentecost. And that sounds okay, and if you want to shout over that, that's fine with me. I don't care. I just have a different opinion than you may have. I don't necessarily believe the church was born on the day of Pentecost. I think the church was born while Jesus was on the cross. Remember that Jesus was the second Adam. He came to fulfill what Adam lost. What you hit on that he came to seek and save that which is lost. Go ahead and run with that, brother. He came to seek and save everything that Adam lost in the garden. Dominion, power, authority, rank, order. He came to redeem the very image of God that Adam gave up and lost through sin. Jesus came to redeem it back, my friend. You hadn't just gotten saved to go to heaven. You've been saved to bring the influence of heaven to this earth to make an impact on planet Earth. My God. We ain't preaching yet. I ain't got to my message. We're just playing. My God. When Jesus is on the cross, he's dead. He died because he quit speaking. There's a whole lot I didn't say about that. Jesus could not die until he quit talking. That's why he said, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. And then the Bible says, and he gave up the ghost. When that Roman soldier came and pierced him in the side, why in the side? Why not through the front? It would have been a little easier. He's on the cross, just walk up, right in the heart, he's dead. It's good. Why in the side? Because he's the second Adam. Just like he pulled the woman out of Adam, that Roman centurion soldier had no idea what he was doing. He pierced Jesus in the side, and the Bible said blood and water flowed. I don't think it was just blood and water that flowed. I think that was the church flowing out of him. That was you and me. So now we are bone of his bone. We are flesh of his flesh. We are the bride of Christ. We are both his body and his bride. Are you with me? So, Pastor, what does this have to do with Numbers chapter 30? I'm glad you asked such a great question. Your father is God. Your husband is Jesus. Some folks, under the sound of my voice, made some commitments you couldn't keep. And the enemy has beat you over the head with it and caused you to feel remorseful and caused you to feel shame and said you can never measure up and you can never keep up. But you got to understand, your heavenly father and your husband, Jesus, stepped forward and said, I knew they couldn't keep that. I will honor that on their behalf. I will even call some things null and void. He has the power to be able to do that over your life. Do you hear me tonight? So I don't know who that is for tonight, but you need to walk out of this place no longer bound by shame, no longer bound by guilt. Oh yeah, you made the commitment. You said, I'm going to do such and such, but then you were unable to, and you have let the enemy beat you to death. And God says, I cancel that thing against you. As Pastor said earlier, mercy and grace came running, and when they kissed each other, you got caught up in the smack. You didn't quite say it like that, did you? You should have, though. Praise God. Well, now we'll get to the message. All that was just fun. Actually, it was just for something I felt like the Lord told me to tell you. Tonight, I want to talk to you a few moments on the anointing for release. The anointing for release. I love the phrase, unleashing the favor and influence of heaven. The word unleash, praise God, has a synonym that I know that you're familiar with, which is release. So, I grew up in Sweeney, Texas. Salute. In Sweeney growing up, I had dogs. I used to have a dog. He was a pit bull. I'm not a fan of pit bulls anymore, but I was when I was a kid. That pit bull got me out of more trouble than I could say grace over. And I said got me out of trouble. Now we have wiry dogs that my wife likes. We have an Airedale, okay? We put my Airedale in obedience school. 13 weeks later, it's a 6-week course. 13 weeks later, they bring my dog to me and tell me she flunked. She failed. Did not pass, did not succeed. And much like my pit bull, this is my collar for my Airedale. And yes, this is what holds her and keeps her at bay. And if we take her for a walk, or she takes us for a walk, matter of fact, there's a picture of me and my dog on Facebook somewhere, and she is on her back two legs. And Jonathan thought, well, that is just so cute. I'm doing everything I can to hold her back. I know this, if she gets this leash out of my hands, if she becomes unleashed, that dog has speed you have never seen. That dog will go to places you would never find her again. Oh, she knows where home is, but she will run, like the eagle said, like the wind. She will enjoy her freedom like she has never enjoyed her freedom before. So it is imperative for me, if I'm going to control her, to hold on to this end of the leash. Are you with me? The Bible says that the anointing has come to break the yoke. If I can put it this way, you have bound up in you dreams, destiny, vision, freedom, liberty, things inside of you that has never been unleashed or released. And I've come to tell you tonight, it's time to take the leash out of the enemy's hand and run, baby, run. Run, Dominion, run. My God. Moses is gone up to a mountain and he says, Lord, show me your glory. Now, Pastor Greg, I don't know if this is going to make any sense to you, but you and I are weird this way, so sometimes when I tell you things, it makes sense to you, and sometimes when you tell me things, it makes sense to me, and if this don't make no sense to you, sorry. Anybody see the... I shouldn't ask you that. You wouldn't think I'm holy. Did you see the movie? I know. You already know. He ain't. How many of y'all... Don't raise your hand because your pastor still thinks you're holy. So how many of you saw the movie Tombstone?
Oh.
Yeah. Period. I'm your Huckleberry. Yes. Come on. Yes. In the movie Tombstone, when they get to the OK Corral and they're having a standoff, if you'll remember, Doc Holliday, he's ready to fire. You ever notice in that movie The Glitch? That double-barrel shotgun shot 3 shells. Go back and watch, so I ain't telling the truth. Shoots one in the air, shoots the guy, and then shoots the other guy. And didn't reload till afterwards. But when the standoff is going on, Doc Holliday is looking for somebody to flinch. And when he finds that person that's ready to flinch, he winks. Pastor Guy, I don't know if this makes any sense to you. But brother, I felt like God said, tell Dominion I'm winking their way. Tell them they're going to get caught in the wink of my favor. See, you wink when you know I got this. Doc Holliday knows he's the fastest guy there. Everybody else around me may die. It's the truth. See, it's easy to wink when you're confident. It's easy to wink when you're sure. It's easy to, when I know in whom I have believed and I am persuaded he is able to keep that which I have committed into his care. Now, it's something, now it ain't something you shout over at church. It's something you walk in once you leave. You just know God's got this. See, some of you tonight need to get caught in the wink. Very interesting thought. This has nothing to do with anything, but it's just very interesting. Well, the Bible says that Jesus will return in a blink of an eye. In a wink. You know how long that takes? 82 thousandths of a second. Folks, that's fast. You ain't going to have time to get ready. You just better be ready. See, because when God looks your way and winks, you want to make sure you capture it. When favor opens the door, you want to make sure you're ready to walk in. Let's get into this word, if that's okay. I've messed around enough. And Moses says, show me your glory. Now, glory means, we know, heaviness, weightiness, kabod. It also means displaced power of God or the felt presence of God. Glory in the church, though, is somehow been translated to when we have a good service. Or maybe it gets really lively and somebody falls on the ground. And they're like, woo, the glory of the... And it's super spiritual and filled with glory if the preacher don't get to preach. Somehow that's when God really moved, because everybody knows the preacher can't move with God. Or we equate the glory of God to when a cloud may show up in a service. I've seen it. Or before we had haze machines to help our lights, sometimes the glory of the Lord would show up and be like a mist in the service. We've seen that. Maybe even the use and the release of spiritual gifts take place in the church. And somebody receives a prophetic word, or there's a message in tongues or interpretation of tongues or a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge. And we're like, ooh, the glory of God was in the place. But let's look at glory in the context of what Moses is talking about. You got to understand, when it comes to church work, there's nothing Moses hadn't seen. He's not going to be easily impressed, because at his very mouth, 10 plagues came to Egypt. Remember, this is the guy that stopped at a burning bush and wasn't consumed, but a voice came out of it and God said, take off your shoes, boy, you're on holy ground. And he still had enough wit about him to take off his shoes. I might have left my shoes, but I'd have been running, baby. Dad had to come by. Whoa, whoa, hey, come back, Donald. Where you going? Nay. I'm out of here. Something not right. He's the guy that crossed the Red Sea on dry ground. I don't care what the new theologians are saying. Who say, no, you know, it was a certain time this year where it gets down to about 2-3 inches of water, and they were really able to walk around 2-3 inches of water. Well, if that's the case, how did the whole stinking Egyptian army drown in 3 inches of water? Which one's the bigger miracle? I got questions. Here's a man who found water in the desert. He went back to Mount Sinai because he's told all of his buddies, hey, guess what? I was at a burning bush. At the burning bush, God spoke to me. He said, I am that I am, that I am the blank check that you need for whatever you have need of. So I am that I am has come to get you out of where you are, to get you to where he is. And he's told them about the burning bush. He gets back there. The bush is not the only thing now on fire. The whole mountain is now on fire. And a voice comes out of the mountain with thunders, lightnings, and earth shaking and says, Mo, come up here and bring the people. And the people said, no, whoa. You go. We'll stay here. Moses goes up the mountain. He's like, okay, y'all's lost. He goes up 40 days, 40 nights. He's hanging out with God. God writes for him the Ten Commandments and gives him the pattern of the tabernacle. It didn't take God 40 days to write Ten Commandments. I want y'all to know real quick. If he can create the earth in 7, he don't need 40. Then he took the 7th day off. He don't need 40 to write 10 commandments. Moses is slow, so he's got to give him the pattern of the tabernacle to be built. Go read your Bible. It's in there. Matter of fact, the whole 10 commandment gig, he's got to do that twice. Because Moses gets mad and says, y'all broke all the 10 commandments. I'm going to break them too, and threw the 2 stones at them. So when we're talking about show me your glory, you've got to understand for Moses, the standard is pretty high.
Ooh, that's good. That's right.
What is it that he hasn't seen that he wants to see? Oh, Pastor, I know it. You know, he hit him in the rock and he walked past him. He got to see his backside. No. Well, it's what it says. It says he saw his hinder parts. You might want to go study that and find out what that really means. It means Moses saw everything that God had done up to that point. When he hid, how else can Moses write, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was without form, and it was void, and the Spirit of the Lord moved upon the face of the deep, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. How can he write that as if he is experiencing that, as if he was there? Because when he said, God, show me your glory, the very presence of everything God had ever done up to this point, God passed by so he could see all that he had done. So that Moses wasn't writing as a storyteller. He was writing as one that had a divine experience with a divine God, giving forth revelation that we can now walk in and have confidence in. When he says, show me your glory, I believe it was a request that God would release his anointing and God's very nature, not just in Moses' life, but in the lives of whom Moses was leading. Hear me. When we think of glory and we think of favor, we first of all know it's not earned. And if you haven't lived long enough, it's not fair. So you can't get envious, you can't get jealous, you can't get upset when somebody else is walking in a blessing that you wished you had. Don't you dare get critical, don't you dare get mad, don't you get upset. Until you learn to celebrate what somebody else has, you will never walk in what they walk in. You have to be. I told my church at Spiritual Emphasis Week that Sunday morning, I told them you have to be positioned for favor. See, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to know that 2014 is a year of double favor. Not just favor, but double favor. But only those that are positioned for favor are going to walk in the favor of God. If you read Genesis, the 18th chapter, in the first three verses, Abraham is sitting with the tent doors open. Are you with me? He's sitting with the tent doors open. He sees the Lord and two angels pass by, and he runs out to greet them. He runs out to meet. He is positioned for favor. And he says in the third verse, if I have found favor in your sight, do not pass me by. If I found favor with you, Lord, don't pass me by without blessing me, without directing me, without ordering my step. I don't want to go through another year seeing the favor of God just passing by and not landing in my life. So I've got to position myself for the favor of God.
I think of Ruth. Ruth is positioned to get Boaz's attention.
You think she's in that field by accident? She's out there working it.
Just like that.
I think of Esther for a year. She didn't go and ask, does the king like what I wear? Does the king like my perfume? She said, what does the king like? Well, honey, his favorite fragrance is Coco Mademoiselle from Chanel. Well, we don't like that Chanel number 5 stuff. No, no, no. We like Coco Mademoiselle. Really? What's his favorite color? Purple. For it's the color of royalty. So for a year, we know the scripture, she bathes every day in the fragrance. Not that she prefers. See, your worship is not what you like. You're worshiping what you're comfortable with.
I'm just not comfortable with all that noise. Praise God. I'm one of them quiet saints.
I'm one of the dead in Christ. We're going to go first. I know they don't exist at Dominion, but we got a few of them at Mercy Gate. So y'all pray for us. Your worship is not about you. It doesn't matter if you like the song. It doesn't matter if you like the style. It doesn't matter. I don't want to clap my hand. Well, the Bible says, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Why? Because he likes it. He likes it. I shared this a few weeks ago at our church. I used to lead worship. Thank God I don't have to do that no more because I wasn't any good at it. I'm a great worship leader. I just stink at singing. They're two different things. Some folks can sing but can't worship. See, you're blessed in this house with Pastor Dina because Pastor Dina can worship and the girl can sing. She got pipes. One Sunday, I walked onto the platform and the pastor said, what's the set list for the day? I said, well, we're going to sing one song. He goes, we're going to do what? Okay, we're going to open up with that one song. What's going to be next? I said, I don't know. He said, what do you mean? I said, I pray. God said he wants to hear this song only. And I'm like, It's scary when you're telling your pastor that. It's like, oh, I hope somebody gets a witness besides just me. And we walk out there, and it's not even a fast song. You know, you got to start every Pentecostal church off with a fast song. You know what I mean? It wasn't. I walked on the platform, and piano started playing. It was slow. Folks stood to worship as we're programmed to do. And I started, show me your way, that I may walk with you. Show me your way. And everybody just looking at me like a dying calf in a hailstorm. So it wasn't Wednesday night, Pastor Greg. It was a Sunday morning. And, you know, and about 80% of the church, they looked over there like, oh. Show me a way that I may walk with you. And show me a way. I've never sweated more in my whole life. I'm like, either Jesus show up or degree start working, because it's getting hot in this place. I got about the third round, that sucker. And I'm just thinking, man, if this is a Jericho moment and we're going to have to march 7, we in trouble. In my mind, I'm going through every song that will take out of this song. I mean, that, okay, we're in Show Me Your Way. What can go with that? We can just roll in. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Something's got to be able to roll from here to there. I got the third merry-go-around with Show Me Your Way. That I may walk with you. And when I said walk, people started walking down the aisle and hitting the altars and letting God get a hold of them and them get a hold of God. After the service, my pastor came up to me and said, what got into you? I said, well, I prayed this morning and said, God... Yeah, sometimes he didn't want me ever to do that again. I said, I prayed this morning, and when I prayed, God said this was a song he wanted to hear. And he told me to sing it until the people responded. I said, Pastor, I am so glad they responded. I have never been so afraid in all my life. Esther prepared, positioned herself. See, some of you tonight need to understand, you came to Power Now Conference and you thought your whole life up to this point was maybe not all it should have been. That, yeah, I know God orders our steps, but he's ordered Pastor Greg's and he's ordered other ministers, and Brother Don, he's ordered yours, but he hasn't ordered. Can I tell you, the devil is a lie. He has positioned you right where he wants you. And I've come to tell you, don't move. Because God is about to bless you. And if you move in this season out of time and out of rhythm, my friend, you can mess up what God has been setting up for a while in your life. When the Bible says he works all things together for the good of those that love, you got to understand, when God has positioned you somewhere and he's saying, be still, know that I'm God, wait upon the Lord. God is over here working all things together for your good. Don't let him come back and not find you waiting where he told you to wait. Oh, but Pastor, I'm impatient. Then don't get blessed. Well, see, your pastor, me, I want to see you walk in the fullness of what God has for you. Oh, if you get knocked out on the floor, glory to God. Get up and walk different. See, the glory of God, the presence of God, the favor of God is released to perform at a specific level. Are you with me? David didn't have an anointing to kill Goliath until David showed up in front of Goliath. We always want the anointing before we get there. David knew without question, I can kill a lion, I can kill a bear, and I've knocked off some trees. But I don't know that I have an anointing to kill a giant until the giant shows up in front of me. Have you ever seen somebody going through something and you told them, I could never walk through that. I could never go through that. I could never face that challenge. You don't know that. You're not there. And when you get there, His grace is sufficient for you. Do you understand what you may be going through tonight? God has already released a grace that you can go through it. And while you're going through it, you're rubbing the enemy's nose in it because he's saying, surely by now they should have gave up. Job, by now you should have cursed God and died. By now you should have denounced Christ. But at the same time, you're saying, though he slay me, yet will I trust him because I'm favored and blessed of God. You don't look blessed of God. Don't judge me by a snapshot of my life. You better watch the whole movie. Look at a preview and say, well, I just know I saw a preview. No. Whew. Jesus says this. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me. Jesus had never said that before because it wasn't time to say that. Are you with me? Jesus had never walked the place he was about to walk. He was never about to walk into the anointing he was about to walk into. But there came an identification with that which was on him. And he steps up reading what the prophet had wrote and said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me and he has anointed me. I am anointed of God for this hour. And this isn't just a cute slogan, unleashing the favor and the affluence of heaven. No. You, Dominion Church, have been called for such a time as this. For the Spirit of the Lord is upon you to unleash the favor and the influence of heaven. My God. Do me a favor. Just humor me one second. Just look three people right in the eyes, eyeball to eyeball, and tell them it's your time. Tell them it's your time. Tell them it's your time. It's your time. They didn't believe you. You're talking to the wrong ones. Tell somebody to believe you. Tell them it's your time. It's your time. For the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me. It is my time. I've come into my season. I've come into my time. I've come into my moment. All I've gone through, the hell, the high water, has prepared me for such a time as this. It is my time. You ought to give God a praise in this house. My God. Woo! Sit down. The anointing always reacts in faith, not fear. I have people all the time, Pastor, how do you get past fear? I don't know. I have figured out fear and faith always show up in my life at the same exact time. Then I have the privilege of choice. Yeah. what happens is in that moment, if we don't recognize the anointing of God, we revert back to Egyptian mindsets and Egyptian thoughts before we were ever delivered, before we were ever brought out. You got to understand, the anointing creates conflict. It's violent. It's not just so you can, oh, Shunda. It's so you can go to war. It's so that you can fight the good fight. The anointing has come to destroy yokes, break bondages, obliterate the enemy. Hear me, that's not cute. That's not passive. Pastor Don, why am I going through all this stuff? Because you're anointed of God. Well, I thought if I was saved and I was living right and everything was good, I wouldn't have all these problems. Wah, you big baby. Who told you you wouldn't have problems? Jesus said, in this world, you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And if he dwells in us, my friend, you will overcome the world also. See, that's why we've got to be exposed to folks operating and functioning at the level we want to be at. I wished I had their faith. Go hang out with them. I wished I had that kind of anointing. Be careful what you ask for. See, your pastor can lay hands on you and pray for you. And you can get gifts and you can get callings, but you can't get his history. You can't get what he's walked through. Oh, pastor, I just wish we had a marriage like you and Sister Dina. Pray the Lord. Really? You want to have to go through what they have gone through to get what they've got? See, everybody wants the blessing of God, but they don't want to have to go through anything to get. Hear me. We need anointing in our thinking, in our family, in our finances, maybe even in our worship and our prayer. The problem is when you see someone operating where you want, you can't get critical. You can't get jealous. You can't get envious. Pastor Greg, I don't know how you learn to pray. Pastor, I don't know how you learn to pray. I grew up in the old church. Okay? I was born right on time. Because I understand old school, but I also understand new school. But I remember in the old school church, we didn't have prayer symposiums. We didn't have come to this class and learn 7 ways to pray strategically. I didn't have that. What I had was prayer mamas in our church. And on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, anytime church doors were open, they show up at church. They prayed before service, during service, and after service. Before service, they were praying for themselves. During the service, they was praying for the preacher. After service, they was praying for anybody they can get their hands on. That's good. It's just a fact. That's what I grew up under. I see people's faces right now. I do. So this is how I learned to pray. Sister Brown, y'all don't know her. She's a bad woman. Bad woman. And then Sister Houston. Sister Houston gets so blessed she'd walk on her ankles and run through the church. Weirdest thing I ever seen in my life. Thing is, when it's the first time you ever meet her, she come in all dignified. Yeah. Back in the day when you didn't do this, she wear a hat to church. I mean, she was prim and proper. Everything was dignified. Everything was in place. Greeting, Pastor. How are you doing this morning? By second song in the worship service, she read what David said. I'm about to become more undignified than this. And she did. I'd get there before church. Sister Brown here, Sister Houston here. They got space in between them. I get in there. Now, I wasn't dumb enough to pray. Or talk. I come to listen. And while I'm there, Sister Houston, oh, good God. Oh, Jesus, we need you tonight. Oh, we don't need anybody else but Jesus tonight. God help our little preacher tonight. I felt like a termite caught in a yo-yo. Because one of them would go, and the other one would go, and where, my whole prayer language started out with, But in those, between those ladies, I learned to pray. I learned to get a hold of God like they got a hold of God. Anointed women of God that knew how to get a hold of the hem of his garment. They didn't read it in a book. Other than this one. That's what we need. Hear me. Some anointing that comes by grabbing a hold of the altar of God. Pastor, I don't know how to pray like that. Get between two people that do and wait a minute. Problem is, most of the time we see somebody acting like that nowadays. We want to go over there. Oh, calm down. Peace, Lord, peace. You got to understand, this thing's a struggle. See, I come to talk to some folks that are struggling. The Bible tells us that whenever the twins were in the womb of Rebecca, they struggled. It's the only place in the Old Testament that word is used. There was a fight. There was a tension. There was a battle, because life, my friend, is a struggle. Christianity is a struggle. If you're going to live saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost in this day and hour, you're going to have to fight for it. You're going to have to struggle for it. There's going to be some days your want to's not going to want to. There's a struggle between light and darkness, good and evil, positive and negative, wheat and tares, Cain and Abel, Abraham and Lot. There's a struggle that goes on in serving God. But hear me. Ed Cole said this, and I love it. He said, the way you leave one place will determine how you enter another place. We love to sing the song by Israel Houghton that talks about where we're leaving. Our ceiling has now become our floor. And we're like, yay! But nobody ever told you at different levels come different devils. And the way you left that last level will determine how you enter into this next level, no matter which way you're going. Not everybody in the church is going up. I know, not Dominion and not Mercy Gate. See, struggle is imminent when you're anointed of God. Hear me. You'll be tempted more than you've ever been tempted before right after you got blessed by God. See, Cain doesn't want Abel blessed. Lot doesn't want Abraham to have the land. Hear me. Esau doesn't want Jacob to walk in the birthright. Oh, we're going to have power now. We're going to have spiritual emphasis week. Lottie, stinking dog. What do you do when Spiritual Emphasis Week is over? When power now is done, do you still have power now? Are you still unleashing and releasing? Because at power now, at Spiritual Emphasis Week, you got something that carries you through 2014. That all year long, you're walking in the double favor and blessing of God. Let me close, which means absolutely nothing. Anybody ever had a struggle, but you didn't see it was coming from there? I mean, you've been blessed, and God did something in your life, and you're like, I got the victory. I got the victory. Hallelujah. Praise God. Woo, I'm blessed. And if the devil would have come up and went, boo, you'd have saw that coming. But it's usually someone that loves you. Think about Jesus. He goes to Nazareth. Nazareth is home. I'm like, dude, we know you. Isn't this your mama? Aren't those your brothers and sisters? What good can come out of Nazareth? That was family. Hear me. See, oftentimes we get power and we're walking in the anointing of God and trouble comes, but it didn't come where you thought it would come from. So it derails you. And I've come to tell you tonight, you can expect unexpected trouble coming from the unexpected places. But you have to understand, in this season, God's got this. And when it hits you on every side, don't react like you used to react. Just know, I got caught up in the wink. I'm good. Oh, are you lucky? Last week, I'd have ripped your head off. Oh, I'm talking sanctified people. I'm sorry. Y'all ain't like some of us. The other day, I was driving around Baytown. And I began to experience in my car just an incredible anointing from the Lord. I mean, phenomenal. And I felt like the Lord said, it is an anointing for elevation and release. Hear me. It's a transformational anointing. I believe that the Father, in the hour that we're living in, is releasing some things into the body of Christ that will elevate you. It'll elevate you in your thinking. It's going to elevate you in your character. It's going to elevate you in your position in His kingdom. You got to understand, there were some crowds you didn't fit into because God didn't want you in that crowd. God had to pull you out, preserve you for a time. And then when it became your time and your season, you were able to walk into that thing. I got a phone call this week from a buddy of mine, and I was being invited to a table. And I'm not going to tell you the names at the table. I'm not into name dropping that much unless it's Pastor Greg. I like dropping his name when it works for me. And the man that was on the other side, he said, Brother Gibson, what you thought your whole life was rejection because you didn't fit in was preservation for this time. Because I asked him when he called me, he said, why am I getting invited to this table? I said, these guys are home run hitters. I can barely get a bunt. I strike out more times than I hit the ball. I'm just being honest with you. And he told me, he said, God has preserved you for this season, this time. That's good. And he says, I need you at this table. Awesome. Will you fly out and be with us? I said, I will, but I'm going to be quiet. He said, no, you won't. This is what he told me. He said, when the Spirit of the Lord comes on you, you're going to prophesy into that room because you're carrying a key we need. I'm like, I'm just a kid from Mont Belvieu, Texas. And do you know where that is? It's a blip on the map. And this is what he told me. He said, God has preserved you for this season. That's not just for me, Pastor. God's preserved you for this season. When you were passed over, when you were looked over, and you wondered why I didn't get favor here or an open door here. It wasn't your season, but you're entering into your season where doors will open up. And God will walk you in and walk you through. And church, you got to be ready when that happens. When Pastor ain't here on a Sunday, you better still tithe. Don't be texting somebody finding out, well, who's here and who's preaching, because if they ain't here, they ain't. I know I'm talking to the wrong crowd because you're here on a Saturday night. But you have friends. And you have influence. So why don't you influence them? Because while he's out blessing somebody else, God sees that and says, I'll bless Dominion because you allowed him to be sown into another house. I came to tell you there is an anointing to elevate you in this season. There is an anointing of Joshua to lead like a general. And an anointing of Elisha that will call forth prophets and identify a prophetic generation. There is an anointing going forth of Samuel that has the ability to anoint kings and call forth ministers in a season at a time, and a time for a season. Hear me. Recently, y'all know Luke Coulter. He's probably the only guy I know crazier than me. We had him at Spiritual Emphasis Week. I don't know what he preached on. I have no clue. I'll have to go back and listen to it. He jacked me up. I said that word twice now here. It must be a good word here. I even feel the anointing when I say that. Slap five people and tell them, you're about to get jacked up before this is over. Yeah, yeah. Tell them. He came to our church and he began to prophesy over me. And I never heard this in my life. And he said, Pastor Gibson, you need to know tonight there is a Jehu anointing about to rest on you. He said, for God is going to give you instruction in how to tear down Jezebel. And he said, everywhere you go, you will bring down the Jezebel spirit and set up a prophetic kingly spirit in those houses. Hear me. The days of manipulation and Christian witchcraft are over, baby. Where they want to manipulate the man of God through gossip, through backbiting, through lying, talebearing. Those days have come to an end. God said, in this hour, I'm going to release the men of God to do what they need to do. Hear me. I heard a bell. Was that my end? I'm good with it then. At Mercy Gate, they put a big clock up there and start counting it down. I've learned to ignore that too. Hear me and I'm done. God is going to elevate and anoint families. Healing wounds, restoring hope, blessing your kids. This is what I hear the Lord saying. Through your trouble, through your sickness, through your challenge, what the enemy meant for harm, hear me. God is calling in 2014 for you to go through a season of promotion, promotion, promotion. Some of you are going to skip levels. Hear me. The last season was sent to make you fail out of school. And God said, because you passed the test, I'm going to allow you to skip a grade. Yeah, we live in a culture today that wants to hold the boys back, so maybe they'll be better in football the next year. Hopefully, those little rascals will get a scholarship and mom and dad won't have to shell out no money. In the kingdom of God, God's not into holding his kids back. He's into promoting them. He's into elevating them. He's into taking them from glory to glory to glory. And God told me to come and tell you tonight, I'm going to allow you to skip a grade because of what you learned in last year's class. Because I don't know about for you, but at Mercy Gate and for Donald Gibson, 2013 was a year where trust was on trial. Could I trust God when I didn't understand God, when it looked like all hell was coming against me? Can I just still trust you, Lord, when it looks like I'm on trial and I don't even hear my attorney standing up and speaking on my behalf? But in October, I heard God stand up and declare a mistrial on my behalf. My God. I preached this whole message, didn't even tell you what the anointing was. That's terrible. Because some of you think you know. Anointing in its rawest form means to be painted with a fragrance which draws the favor and the presence of God towards you. To be painted with a fragrance. Could it be what the enemy meant for harm, God meant it for good? What the enemy meant for harm was only painting you with the fragrance of God, with faithfulness. They shouldn't have joy right now, but paint them with joy. They shouldn't blame. Brother, I got to be real honest with you. If I got $100, I don't know that I'm going to get in my car and drive all that far to get here. Number one, from where you came from, I'm going to have to fill up multiplicity of a multitude of times. But God says, I'm going to paint him with that which draws and attracts my favor toward him. My glory toward him. Oh, I know you should have quit. I know you should have given up. But gosh, I'm going to paint you with the thing that draws my power, my gifts, my abilities, my favor. And can I tell you this? We call Jesus Christ. Christ is not his last name. It's not, huh? Here's just a little lesson for you. You can go when you study from now on. I want you to pay attention when you read the Word of God. Pay attention to this phrase. Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus. Paul will refer to Jesus as Jesus Christ, and another time he'll refer to him as Christ Jesus. He's not dyslexic, and he's not confused. Because Jesus speaks of his humanity, but Christ is his divinity. And it's not just his divinity, it is his assignment. His assignment is, Christ means the anointed one. And if the anointed one dwells in you, don't allow any devil in hell to tell you that you are not smeared with the very things that attract his presence. Annette Malone song, come here. Only because I know what she wears. She looks. Come on. No. Come on up here, girl. This is one of our intercessors at our church. This woman knows how to get a hold of God. I'm telling you, this, when I get in trouble, I call my wife first. I call Annette Bean. I call her, and I tell them, get a hold of Kathy. Y'all pray for me. I'm in deep weed. I know y'all ain't never been there, but I get there. Pray. Not that kind of weed. My God, y'all just...
The dove just left the building.
Come back.
Here's what I know. The first time. I can't even tell you what she was wearing that day. First time I ever walked up, I greeted her. I hugged her. I stepped back. I said, Coco Mademoiselle. She said, how do you know? I said, because that's what I buy Jonna. I like it. I buy her what I like to smell. Hear me. So for me, it don't matter what she wears. As long as she got on Coco Mademoiselle, we good. First time I was like, whew, that smells good. I got to find my wife. Where are you at, baby? I just like, here's my point. How many tonight would say, I love Jesus with all my heart, but I've been going through some stuff. 2013 wasn't such a good year. I needed power now. I don't know how I got here. I'm just glad I got here. Can I tell you something? The Lord, He ain't looking what you're wearing on the outside. The Father's coming by going, and He smells the lily of the valley. He smells the rose of Sharon. I don't know if it's a fragrance, but it should be. The bright and morning star. He smells peace. Joy unspeakable. Full of glory. Chanel can't make that, baby. And because of Him who is in you, you are smeared with the fragrance that attracts Him to you. Hear me. Your worship is only an expression of what's exploding on the inside of you. Are you with me? Thank you. I close with this and I'm done. Anointing means to smear. My question is, who here needs a fresh anointing? Oh, I mean, I know you showed up last night and you showed up this morning and you showed up Wednesday, but you know that you know that you know. I need a fresh smearing, a fresh anointing, an anointing that draws the favor of God, draws the presence of the King, an anointing that brings the influence of heaven your way. Am I talking to anybody tonight that would say, Pastor, that's me. That I know it's not good English, but I just need a fresh smearing. Just all over me. All over me. One of the things I do, Pastor Greg, don't tell on me. It's a bad thing. People think. Christmas time, my wife, we go to the mall. I love to shop. You know I love to shop. I go to the mall. My favorite thing to do at Christmas time is to go hang out in the perfume and cologne section. I do. And I love watching ladies come up lost. Or go to the perfume section and men, they're just, they got no clue. Clueless. And they come up and they're like, I'd like to get something for my wife, or I'd like to get something for my husband. And I'll ask them, what do you like? What's he like? Tell me a little bit about him.
And they'll tell me about him. And I'm like, oh, girl, I know exactly what you need. Come on over here. How do you like that? Ooh, he'll like that. Ooh, that's good. And so that lady right there, she'll get it for you. I go over to another one. Men, I got people who call me and ask me, what should I get my wife for perfume? My grandmother, when I was 6 years old, bought me nice cologne. Not Aqua Velva, right. Not Old Spice, right. Not Brute, not Dippity Doo or Dobbity Dap. Good stuff. And here's the deal. I don't miss. Manager come to me. She said, sir, would you like a job? At Macy's, Baybrook Mall. I said, honey, I do this because I like it. It's fun. She goes, selling cologne is fun. I said, oh, yeah. I said, I get to guess what she would like and what he would wear. And I'm right. The other night, I took my children's pastor to the mall, and Ish started. And they made the, he goes, he said, pastor will end up in the cologne section, watch. And I did. And Todd goes, he goes, you know, I've never found a cologne I really like. I'm like, really? I looked at him. It's a mission. I'm like, Burberry Touch is your fragrance. I say, your wife is going to like it. He goes, how do you know? Walked over there, got some, put it on a card, said, here. That man of faith and power went and smelt every other cologne. Every other one of them. I mean, he's over there putting this on, that on, this on, that on. I stayed right where I was. You'll be back. He came back around, bought a large bottle. He goes, how'd you know? I said, I don't know. I just know. Can I tell you? I don't know. I just know. I know what he's attracted to. I know what you're smeared with. I know the enemy wants to contaminate it. I know he wants to tell you you can't. But can I come to tell you, the anointed one has already smeared your life with favor. It is a fragrance that is drawing the very presence of God to you. You don't have to wonder, God, is my worship pleasing to you? Oh, he said, baby, you're wearing the right fragrance. Here I come. I'm in love with you. Lord, I don't sing well. Don't matter. You're making a joyful noise. I like it. I'm coming to you. Who here tonight would say, pastor, I need a fresh anointing for 2014. Because I feel like I've been ready to go and something has been holding me back. And the Bible says it's the anointing that's come to break the yoke and loose the heavy bounds. So you, my friend, can run free. And walk in the freedom and the liberty that God intended you to. Who am I talking to? I know I'm talking to you, sweetie. Ooh, God's got something good for you. Shoo. So who would say tonight, I need to be unleashed. You need to be unleashed. Get up from where you're at and come and stand and begin to worship the Lord. For this is your season of unleashing. Oh, my, 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 my. Dear Lord. Pastor Jason, would you come? Pastor Quinn, would you come? Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Come on, begin to worship Him. We're going to attract the presence of God, the anointing of God. Your worship is a fragrance to Him. I know it's late, but it ain't that late. There's a reason they let me start at 6. Hear me. Dominion Church, it's time for you to walk in a brand new favor, because the favor that got you here is not going to take you to where you're going. But I brought you good news. He's come with more than enough. More than enough. Whoo, my God. Myself and these men of God are going to begin to walk through here. We're just going to lay hands on you. We're going to pray for you. And as we pray for you, men of God, this is how I want you to pray for. I know it's going to be goofy. What you say, I don't care. But what you do matters. I want you just to smear. I don't want a little dab, do you? I want you to smear. Hear me. It is a prophetic act of what God is doing right now in the supernatural. And as these men and women of God, thank you, Pastor, come and lay hands on you, they're just going to do this. And when they do this, there's going to be a fresh anointing fall on you. Here, look at me real quick, real quick. Sunday morning, I preached a message. I'm in worship. I'm second song in. The Lord spoke to me to go to 1 Samuel chapter 9 and chapter 10, which makes my entire video team and everybody else so nervous, because we got nothing on that. And I preached about Saul being turned into another man. And I've always had these words spoken over me that I'm a David, until this year. This year, someone told me, you'll no longer just simply be a David, but God's promoting you to be a Samuel and a Jehu. For you're entering into a season to anoint kings, to anoint prophets, and to tear down spiritual strongholds. Sunday, I preached that whole message on being turned into another man. First service, everybody's saved in the first service, right? I'm leading that sucker to give an altar call. It makes no sense. Pastors, y'all understand this. I'm arguing with God in my head while preaching to the people. And the Lord is saying, give an altar call. Say, God, everybody here got to be saved. At the end of the service, I gave an altar call. 9 people, first time salvation. 9. Immediately after that, I went into the foyer. I had a couple come out and pray for me. Because when I got through, I realized I didn't preach that message for that congregation. I preached that message for me. And God said, son, I'm about to turn you into another man. Which freaked me out. Because I don't know what that looks like. But I can tell you this. I've just had the best week of my life that I've had in years. And I've had trouble. pretty much most week. And yet, it didn't bother me at all. God gave an answer. God gave a remedy. Thought I was getting sick. I said, oh, the devil is a lie. I got to preach at Power Now. I ain't got time to be sick. I just began to walk around and say, by his stripes, I am healed. He was wounded for my transgressions, bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was laid upon him. And right now, I just receive the healing stripes of Jesus. Went to bed with fever, got up next morning feeling great. Everybody telling me, you got that bug, that flu, that thing going around. It can keep going. Hear me, this week, I'll tell you this. I really believe some of you tonight are going to be changed into another man and another woman. And when that happens, you've got to walk different than the way you walked before. Hear me. Are you ready? Are you ready? Men, women of God, y'all ready? Let's pray. Come on, begin to worship the Lord. Begin to worship the Lord.
This is the conclusion of the teaching. If you would like prayer, you can email us at prayerline@dominionchurch.org or call the church at 281-554-3600. Thanks for joining us.